You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Some sawdust in the air and her hands began to shake. She told me the town where I was born. She almost knew the date. She lit a candle with her eyes and then she made the table rise. Now, all of this is sounding like parlor tricks. I mean, these are something that probably any magician worth their salt could probably do. And the reason I say it like that is that he just kind of said, oh, yeah, well, she did this, she did this, she did this. But he's not talking about his reaction to that. So far, he's not overly impressed with what she's doing. Okay, yeah, you can throw sawdust. Yeah, you know where I was born. Maybe that's a big deal. Maybe it's not, etc. She took the dollar from the jar and then she guessed my weight. Now, this is funny to me because here we are. She's being metaphysical. And then all of a sudden, she guesses his weight. Of all the things that she could be prophesying or predicting or seeing that which is not immediately obvious, okay, she guesses his weight. So I thought that was interesting. And then also, she guesses his weight only after she takes the money from the jar. So I'm wondering, is there any significance to that? Or was he just being poetic in continuing the narrative? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's all about kind of the drama, the scene that he's creating and that the method that a fortune teller uses to kind of create the mystery or the aura to make one believe they really can tell the future or they really know all these things about you, where really guessing your weight isn't such a big deal. But at this point, because like I said, he's kind of maybe in a hypnotic state because of the surroundings and the tent. It's all kind of mysterious. So this is, I think, kind of the drama or the techniques that might be used to kind of keep you roped in. So it's just kind of the excitement of being in there with the gypsy. And like I said, at this point now, she's kind of got him in the palm, just like if you go to a revival meeting or something, you know how people are just kind of like, oh, yes, 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 we get it, we got it. So maybe it's kind of the theatrics of that create the mood and, again, keep them in that kind of like, I don't know, vulnerable state of what are you going to tell me?
You know, I think of it being sort of like a verbal breadcrumb kind of, okay, I'm going to give you a little bit to keep drawing you in. And those are fairly mundane things. But if she's accurate about them, then he's going to be, okay, tell me more, tell me more. So I think you're right on with that. You are so old, you are so wise. Now, that is interesting because I didn't know who was talking there. If it was the fortune teller who was talking, it's almost a cliche for her to be saying this. We talk about these days, well, somebody is an old soul. You know, whatever that means anymore. If it's him talking, it's implying that he trusts her. I mean, you're so old, you're so wise, you got my weight right, you got my birthplace right, so let's keep going. It sounds like it kind of resonates with what we've already said about him trusting her to tell him more. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's interesting that you said, is it her talking? I never considered that it would be her talking. I always thought it was Gordon because now she's got him in the palm of her hand.
And no pun intended.
Yeah, right. And that, but now he's giving her the power. You're so old, you're so wise. So he's kind of giving her the power over him to give him a sign. You know, tell it to me, like he says in the next one. So I'm ready. Tell me what you got to tell me.
It's a great way of continuing the narrative. I really liked that. When you were a child at school, they taught you quite a lot. And this is another thing that's fairly obvious. He did not have a complete education at that point. And the limits on formal education when he was growing up, and this would have been in the 50s, I suppose, in the early 60s. not everybody went to college. Not everybody got a higher education, and you could make a perfectly decent living without a college education. Whereas now in the 21st century, it's almost indispensable. You really are not going to have a whole lot of economic mobility if you don't have a college education. You were taught to read and write to take your lessons home at night. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, didn't that happen to everyone? Everybody is taught to read and write in the United States and Canada, okay, and to do their homework. But again, it sounds very mundane. I don't know what your experience was like, Carol, but when I was younger, I couldn't get excited about learning because it was all rote memorization. And
that's exactly the word I had. Yes, rote. Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, I'm kind of giving you a peek behind the curtain. We know so much more about learning and education than we did 60 years ago, 50 years ago. So that's why they tell us, beginning teachers, don't teach your kids the way you were taught, in that we know so much more now. A little knowledge serves you well, but the golden rule does not. And now this one, it's still stuck in my craw. Who is not well served by the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I also thought of the biblical phrase. I think it's in either the Proverbs or Psalms that say a little knowledge puffs up. So what is this little stanza about? A little knowledge serves you well, but the golden rule does not. Help me out here, Carol.
Well, of course, I don't know exactly what he was thinking, but again, now the gypsy's telling him what he was like as a child, which wouldn't be too hard to see if she was good at reading people. But now Gordon's reflecting, and I believe you talk about education, you know, the rote learning. Not everyone fits into that. I'm sure Gordon was probably one of those students who didn't fit into rote learning, because it sounds like from a very young age, music was his path. And so that probably didn't fit into the type of education that he was getting in school. So he was just this innocent kid. I get the feeling that his parents were very loving, that he had good parents, probably pretty innocent. So when he went to school, all of a sudden he realizes he's not going to fit in. And then you learn a lot of other things when you're in school, and you learn that not everybody's always very kind, whether it's other students or teachers. So maybe the golden rule he was talking about was referring to that, that when you go out into the real world, golden rule doesn't always serve you well, because you might be treating other people the way you were raised, but not everybody was taught that way. So it's not going to serve you well if your teacher is slapping your hand because you couldn't remember something, or they used to hit children in school. I don't know what his experience was like, but I was lucky I didn't have those, but I do remember being humiliated in school, or I do remember kids picking on me and hearing kids call each other names, or, you know, hear about bullying in school. That was never talked about back then. So I don't know if that's what he was referring to. School wasn't the way it was taught back then, probably for somebody like Gordon, who was on a different plane, didn't really quite fit in. Your good, kind upbringing maybe didn't really work out so well with other kids or other teachers.
No, I think you're right. And I think he may very well have been a victim of his own innocence, his own naivete, his own upbringing, because not everybody had that upbringing. And teachers back then were kind of, if they were taught anything at all about psychology, it certainly we're not told don't humiliate a child. And nowadays, that's another thing that they tell us. Don't get into it with a kid, because nobody's going to win. That's a lesson that we have to learn as educators. There's nobody who can tell us that, I think, is the point that I'm making. We have to learn that on our own. Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.